His miraculous life, His substitutionary death for us on the cross, and then His resurrection on the third day, His ascending to the right hand of the Majesty on high, and sending forth His power through the Holy Spirit and all of the Acts of the Apostles, all the way down to the book of Revelation and the things that are described there. Those supernatural events, all on their own, would be a great reason to believe the Bible. At the same time, you also have the fulfillment of specific prophecies, which is another, on its own, another incredible reason to believe that Scripture is just what it says to be. There are voluminous accounts in the Bible of prophets saying, "Thus saith the Lord, this is what's going to happen." And then sure enough, the exact thing that they prophesied did in fact take place. That's pretty amazing. In fact, it's so amazing that God Himself in Scripture challenges somebody else to do that. He says, "Look, all these things I've spoken, and they have come to pass one after another after another. Show me somebody else who can do that." In fact, in Isaiah 43:9 is exactly what he says. He says, "Gather all the nations together. Which of all their idols has ever foretold such things? Which can predict a single day ahead? Where are the witnesses of anything they said? If there are no witnesses, then they must confess that only God can prophesy." I've said this many times. The more I'm certain that I'm going to do something on a specific day, the more it seems that all of life works against me to make sure it doesn't happen. And I know you've all experienced that as well, because you've told me so. This is what I'm going to do. If I do nothing else, this is what I'm going to get done today. Yeah. At the end of the day, I am still scraping to try to make it happen, and it ain't getting done. Phone calls come in, people call up, this, that, and the other thing happens. So you have supernatural events, you have specific prophecies being fulfilled, but what really rocks is when you have specific prophecies fulfilled by supernatural events. That just amplifies it, man. That just cranks it up to like 11 or 12. That's amazing. It's one thing for me to say, exactly 1 month from today, on September 9th, it's going to rain like it has never rained before. It would be one thing for me to say that, and if it rained on September 9th like it's never rained before, wouldn't that be amazing? People look at me like, "Wow. Dude, what's the lottery tomorrow? Who's going to win the series?" It would be amazing. But what if I said exactly 1 month from today on September 9th, it's going to suddenly rain like it has never rained before, but it's going to start off as a gloriously sunny day, and it's not going to rain until I snap my fingers. And then on that day, it starts off sunny, and when I snap my fingers, it rains. Would not that be extra amazing? Wouldn't that be just mind-boggling? You have stuff like that all throughout Scripture. Fulfilled prophecies that are fulfilled by supernatural events. That stuff is all over the place in Scripture. Now, today I want to focus on the New Testament. Before I go there, I do want to just touch on the Old Testament a little bit, just to kind of give you a foretaste. Old Testament. God tells Abram, later to be known as Abraham, God tells Abram, "Your descendants are going to inherit the land of Canaan," which is pretty much what we call Israel nowadays. "I'm going to give this land to your descendants. There are going to be multitudes of them. You won't even be able to count them, like the sand of the beach, sand of the sea, or the stars in the sky. They're going to inherit this land." Now, there was a problem with that. Abraham didn't have any kids. In fact, his wife was childless for almost 100 years before she finally gave birth to that son that God had promised to Abraham, through which all those multitudes of descendants would come. Now, that in itself was amazing enough for a 99-year-old woman to give birth to a kid. Supernatural event. That's incredible enough. But God says, "Oh, that's not enough. Let's raise the ante a little bit. I'll see your kid and I'll raise you this. 400 years later, when the time finally came for those descendants, which was at that point was over 1 million people by now, to inherit that land, for God to give Abraham's descendants that land, the time has come. Okay, there it is. Uh-oh, there's a problem. All of those descendants are now under abject slavery in the land of Egypt. They are giving free labor, a workforce of over 1 million people giving free labor to one of the most powerful nations in the world. And I don't think Egypt was about to give them up. His descendants were in abject slavery and poverty. They had no money. They had no weapons. They had no hope. They barely had food enough to keep them alive so they could slave another day longer. But the time was come for them to inherit this land. Uh-oh, what's God going to do? He made this promise to Abraham. I'm going to give him the land when the time has come. The time has come. They're under slavery to the most powerful nation in the world. I'll tell you what God did. Well, let me tell you what he didn't do. He didn't send another country more powerful than Egypt or an alliance of countries. He didn't send a bunch of armies and warriors and chariots and some incredible, formidable, massive, warriors. He sent an 80-year-old man with a stick. Do you get that? Do you get that? He sent an 80-year-old man with a stick to liberate 1 million people from the most powerful army in the world. Okay? Here's Egypt. Here are their formidable armada of soldiers with chariots and weapons, wealth beyond measure, power. Here's Moses. Moses. Not even Charlton Heston. Moses. Hobbling out of the desert with his walking stick. Here he comes. Tremble. Tremble before him. Here's Moses. 80 years old. Here he comes. Here's Egypt. Here's Moses. And so he comes and he hobbles up to the king of this nation, one of the most powerful men in the entire planet. 80-year-old man hobbles up to the king. He does have a stick. Let's not count that out. And he says to the king, King, God told me to tell you that you need to let these people go or there's going to be trouble. Oh, did he really? I tend to believe he was not inclined to concede Moses' request. That million man free labor workforce that you got going that's building your empire, God wants you to let them go. Say goodbye, they're going. I don't think so. Who could imagine? Isn't that the most ridiculous scenario that you could imagine? This 80-year-old man with a stick tells the king of Egypt to let 1 million people go, 1 million slaves go because he wants them to worship him in the desert? Isn't that insane, frankly? If you hadn't already been taught it for the last, I was going to say 40 years, but however old you are. If you hadn't already seen Charlton Heston, could you believe it in 1 million years? That such a thing took place, and that at the end of that period, that king begged them to go. Its insanity is absolutely ridiculous. But 3,500 years later, you take a look at a map of the Middle East, and just at the northeast corner of Egypt, what nation do you see? Israel. If God did not bring them out of Egypt, you tell me how they got there. That is miraculous beyond words. If God did not lead them out, you tell me. Raise your hand. I want to hear it. Like God says, bring your witnesses. I want to hear it. How did they get there? And why are they still there today? You ought to believe the Bible if only for that reason. That's mind-bending. But there you go. I pulled that off the internet. I did not draw that. That's not a church map, you know, to kind of keep you guys in the dark, make you believe something that you thought. It's internet. I just pulled it off. It's there. Israel's there. You can go. Gene went. Was Israel there when you got there? God is all over you, girl. Today, man, I'm telling you what, if you need prayer today, see this woman, because God is all over her. Amen. Israel's God's witness. They should have disappeared from the face of the planet. God said, no, I got an everlasting covenant. As I am the Lord, they will remain. Praise God. Okay, Old Testament. Now, New Testament. New Testament. Shift gears a little bit here. Ever since the time when man first fell in the Garden of Eden, God told Satan and has been telling Satan, I'm sending somebody to fix it. Ever since that moment when chaos broke out across this universe and death entered the world, death by sin,